Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Emerging Enterprise Radio, featuring high growth companies and their trusted advisors.
Welcome to another episode of Emerging Enterprises. It's our second show already. I got Van here in the studio with me as usual. Welcome back, Van.
Hey, buddy. How are you? How was your week?
Good. It was good. I didn't scare you off last time. You actually came back to the studio, so that's always a plus. And yeah, my week's good. I just bought a new smoker, so I'm going to be experimenting with that this week. I'll be on the roof of my loft, just chilling out, drinking beers, and smoking some pork.
That's awesome. The smoking is great. It's the beer drinking that goes along with it.
Definitely.
That is awesome. By the way, great intro.
I know.
As you look around the table, what's in everybody's hands?
Well, we got some Drafty Kilt from Monday Night Brewing, some of my favorite beers. We want to keep it light in the studio, and we're starting the weekend early, so that's always the best way to do it. So this is my last show. Have a couple beers, hang out with some friends, and talk about some good work some people are doing.
And that's all we're doing this week. So thanks for listening. Thanks, Kevin. Good to see you again. Let me introduce everybody real quick. I am Van Baird with Relational Equity, and I'm here with my co-host, the lovely Taylor Sear.
Hello. Hey,
Taylor.
I'm back. You didn't scare me either. So.
Not even. Well, I didn't know. I knew I wouldn't scare you, but Van, I wasn't sure.
This is true.
Taylor's a tough one in the partnership.
Timid. And I'm particularly excited about every show, obviously, but this one is really cool because this was the genesis, kind of a thought process into why we even wanted to do something like this.
Mm-hmm.
And so let me introduce everybody, and then I'll tell everybody why they're here. I've got Kevin Ekmark.
Hello.
with the Trotline and with Trustworks, but we're going to lean in heavy on the Trotline today because it's such the cool site. Not that Trustworks isn't, but we do have beer, and it is getting warmer, and everybody needs to know about the Trotline, so we're going to cover that. So, and then we have Ashley Williams.
Hello.
Hey, Ashley, with Giant Impact. And there's a story behind that, too. You probably are more familiar with a couple of other entities there, but we'll hit that in just a second. And then he's already on the Mount Rushmore of visitors to the show, Jake Dudley. We can't keep him away. He was here last week.
Hey, he was just waiting outside, too. We didn't even have him on the show.
I just threw a tent up. I'm going to just come back every week.
We wouldn't mind. Hey, it's Jake from The Hive, Atlanta. And if you don't know, our last show last week was all about The Hive and the gathering that they have coming up in April. So you need to go back and listen to that podcast. It's on iTunes, and you can always come back to our station to find that as well. So, but the reason I'm so excited for this week is that, we have some agendas sometimes, but this is just going to be literally some friends sitting around, drinking a beer, and talking about business in and around Atlanta from a certain angle, in that we're all associated on some level with businesses that are socially enterprise-minded, social good. We've all been a part of starting businesses. We've all been a part of marketing. We've all been a part of what do we need to get our name out there. And so this is going to be a fun hour, just talking about how do you get business done, how do you do it well, and who do you connect with. So I want to go a little bit deeper with each of you on your individual companies, and then we'll jump in, as far as Atlanta goes. I want to brag on Kevin a little bit. I would not be here if it wasn't for Kevin Ekmark.
Thanks, Kevin.
It's true.
Not entirely true.
Totally, entirely true. Kevin was our developer on our first website, Van Blogs. Don't go there. You won't get the URL anymore. but we've since transitioned. But what I learned about social media, what I learned about how to do things the right way and the wrong way, I got from Kevin. And he's fantastic at what he does, and so fantastic he decided to start the Trotline website. Tell us about how that got started, why you did it, and what you guys are about.
Well, the Trotline basically started out just because I was going in for a job interview, and the process was taking the job was going to take me to D.C. And the process was about almost a whole year long. And so I knew I had about 9 to 12 months to really explore Atlanta and enjoy the South in general, take trips, take weekend hunting trips, eat a lot of food, find out the new beers that are coming out, things like that. So my buddy Spencer Lewis, he started out Life Below the Line, and he and I kind of came together, took some notes over bourbon one day, and they trailed off, and we diverged for a while. But
totally understand.
We ended up building out the trot line, and it's just been an amazing process since then.
So when people go to your site, what are they going to see?
You're going to see a lot of things, mostly local businesses. We do love outdoor cooking, bourbon, pork, beer. So that is, it's a little bit heavier on that.
Man stuff.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Man stuff. There are some great featured articles by Caroline from Back Down South for the ladies who
Font Nose.
Yep. It's just, we're trying to provide a general flavor, really expose some local businesses for the cool things they're doing in the area. So.
Well, and it's much needed because we can talk about social good and those companies, but man, if you want a beer in Georgia, it's not that hard to find. I mean, the microbrews, the
water, red hair.
Oh my gosh.
They're blowing up right now. I actually released an article this morning about it. There are some really great festivals right around the corner. The one I'm really pumped up about is the Georgia Craft Beer Festival.
Yep.
And it's all Georgia, and you're really going to get to even try some of the nano breweries, like Burnt Hickory.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a really great IPA that I'm hoping will be there.
Okay.
So
no guarantees.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's on Set the Trot Line. The article went up today. It's the 2014 Spring Beer Festivals in Atlanta, and I'm glad you brought up Back Down South because Caroline's an awesome photographer.
Yes.
We've crossed paths, her and her husband and I, in another business, but visually appealing, really great folks to know and follow as well. So Ashley Williams, let me get everybody in the room's looking down at either a laptop or their phones because we're trying to tweet as much as we can while we're on the air. There's such good information, and yes, this is going to go into podcast form when we're done forever and ever, but to just spread the love while we're on the air. So if you're listening, definitely give shout outs to the companies that we're talking about. We're getting them out on the Relational EQ handle. And Kevin, are you hitting up Business Radio X as we get it out?
Right now. I'm looking at it and retweeting.
Good. Well, Ashley, we'll say she's with Giant Impact.
Yeah.
But give us a little bit more there because there's a couple of companies under that umbrella that a lot of people have heard of and know a lot about, but just don't know quite how they operate.
Yeah. The two brands that Giant Impact is over is LeaderCast and Catalyst. And LeaderCast is our whole vision and mission is building leaders worth following. So LeaderCast kind of makes that happen in the business space, and then Catalyst kind of makes that happen in the church leadership space.
Gotcha. And it's first, let's stick with LeaderCast for a second.
Yeah.
At what level of the world are they the largest conference?
I mean, the whole, like.
I mean, isn't it?
Yeah. We like simulcast over 800 sites across like the country and the world.
Wow. She's like, it's the whole world.
It's
not just like, part of it.
Let's be honest. It's the whole
all
world.
But can we talk about, to the people listening in Atlanta, this is one of the largest leader events on how to do leadership, how to be a good leader. They bring speakers in that I wouldn't even want to know what the honorarium is for that. But it's a day of awesome content. And where,
just one day.
And
it's down the street.
It's not in the Georgia Dome.
No, it's at Gwinnett Arena.
Arena. I mean, they pack it out. It's absolutely packed. Yeah. Who are some of the leaders or speakers we know are going to be in the Gwinnett? Because we're going to talk about another venue in a second. But who's coming and will be at the Gwinnett Arena?
Yes. Andy Stanley, Simon Sinek. Trying to think of who else is going to be there. Laura Schroff, which if y'all don't know her and haven't heard of her story, you definitely need to look her up. She wrote a book called The Invisible Thread of how she met this boy who was homeless, and they just kind of like formed a relationship and became friends. And, she just said, I want to make sure he goes to school. I want to make sure he graduates college and things like that. And it's an incredible story. Our theme this year is Beyond You. So it's like totally fits with the theme of being a Beyond You leader just in your everyday life.
Gotcha. I mean, in the past, I heard Coach K last year.
Mm-hmm.
We had, who was the CEO at Burberry?
Angela Ahrens.
Ahrens.
She's amazing. She's cool. Now she's working at Apple.
Oh, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's
right.
Wow. Totally, at the time, she was the CEO of Burberry.
Correct. Yeah.
And I'm not in fashion, so I don't know if I wasn't paying attention, but I was a complete Burberry fan after that.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. They're an incredible
brand.
You're
not in fashion, man? Let's be honest here.
Stop.
Surprise, he's not wearing a bow tie.
So, but this year, I mean, whether you're an individual, whether you've got a small company or a large company, I know my buddy Justin Welk would love to talk about getting your company there and filling those seats. And there's different levels of tickets available.
Actually, there's only one level available now because we're all sold out.
That's awesome. Wow. So the special ones are gone.
Yeah.
It's the general admission. Yep. I don't want to say only because it's still, there's not a bad seat.
No, and you can still get group rates. So definitely bring your whole team and
Because that's just Gwinnett. There happens to be another site that same day.
In South Africa.
Hello.
Wow.
Yeah, Cape Town.
And there's a guy you may or may not have heard of.
His name is Desmond Tutu.
Who is going to be speaking.
Yeah.
Are you kidding
me? That is
me?
Powerful. That's amazing.
And all this
originates... You should see Jake's face right now.
I didn't know that.
How do you How do you get these people to sign up and do this?
I mean, they're just on board with what we're doing and just spreading leadership.
Yeah, they
and
believe.
That's so cool.
They believe in the mission, so...
So that's Desmond Tutu, the Nobel Peace Prize winner.
Correct.
And they're going to simulcast at the same time. I've heard some of the creative stuff they're trying to pull off. If this, if they pull off a tenth of what they've been dreaming about, it's going to be so
amazing.
Memorable.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you definitely need to check that out. And so, oh yeah, and Jake's here.
Again. Again. I'm sorry, everyone.
No.
He brought bicycles for everybody.
Listen to last week if you want to know what Kevin's referring to. But Hive Atlanta, I met with Charlton, who was on the show last week. Again, today we did some planning for the event coming up. You guys are thinking big, and think big is great, but you also need sponsors.
Yeah.
So give a quick synopsis of what the gathering is about.
Okay.
And then why businesses would be paying attention to why they want to be having their name attached to it.
Yeah, we are a young leadership collective of basically a group of 20-somethings passionate about changing the world, whether that's through nonprofit, for-profit, business, entrepreneurship, social, any type of thing that you can make a difference in people's lives, whether that's just a product or a service or whatever, we want you to be at the gathering. And it's beneficial for folks who want to sponsor because if you do something and require people, then we gather people and we gather very passionate and very talented people who execute on their ideas and don't just sit on their butts talking about stuff. They actually do it. And so if you like people who get stuff done, then you want to be a part of what we're building. At the Hive, we have a proven track record. Businesses have been started. Revenue has been generated for companies. So, it's a great thing to come and be a part of.
Well, good. And so if companies want to get a hold of you or the Hive, how do they do that?
Yeah, you can just do jake@hiveatl.com or go onto our page, hiveatl.com, click contact, and it'll go right to me.
Good. Very good. So, well, that's everybody that's sitting here. Taylor and I are with Relational Equity. We just came off of a great day live tweeting yesterday for an event. And what was cool about that event is that we saw a lot of folks that are running social media for different organizations and just asking, like, how do we do it? How do we do it well? Mm-hmm. Right? So in Atlanta, where we have so many businesses trying to get off the ground, trying to make a name for themselves, it's such a free medium. But that doesn't mean just because it's free, you can't have quality that's out there. And I think everybody around this table does social media well, does digital very well. But for companies that are getting started, let's start there. Go back in your mind. What were some of the resources that you really depended on? And anybody can jump in here. When you first got started, like that made getting your name out there a little bit easier.
Oh, gosh. Well, having some actual tools in place, I'm addicted to Hootsuite,
and
the reason being is because you can create lists, you can create people to follow type lists, and you can search for keywords that you're looking for. So say someone's looking for a car in Atlanta, and you can create a list that just finds those words when someone tweets it. So you can jump on it immediately if you're really paying attention and just say, hey, I got a buddy who needs a car. Here's his information, and connect the two. So I think it's a listening, it's a connecting, and it's an empowering device that if you want to be in social, you need something like that.
Anybody use anything different than Hootsuite?
I use Sprout Social.
Yeah. That's a premium service, right?
They have a free option.
Oh, okay.
But it works like an inbox. So you see all your messages coming in, you see all the outgoing, and you just respond sort of like you do email.
Wow.
So it really does keep you categorized then as mm-hmm. far as what you need to respond to yeah. and when.
And then you know if you have a team, who's responded and who hasn't.
Yes,
because that can get confusing yeah. sometimes.
That's true. So.
Can you tweet that for folks who are interested in using that?
Sprout Social, yeah. Yep.
Like me?
Yeah.
Thanks.
AKA me.
and back in our offices, Aaron McClintock is tweeting for us from the Relational EQ account.
We love you, Aaron.
And she will be. We do love you, Aaron. Hope you're feeling better. But she's going to be. She'll be glad to get Sprout Social out too. But yeah, anybody listening, you know, feel free to chime in. Aaron's monitoring our feed. So when Kevin was talking though, it was about connecting people. Right. So just from experience, what plays well on social media? Like, what's the strategy to help grow your presence early when you're just starting out? You've just replaced the egg on Twitter. You know, you just got your cover photo on
Thank
Facebook.
Goodness.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you haven't done that yet.
So, but let's just start there kind of yeah. for a small business. What do you do next?
And you don't pay that $25 for the 5,000 what Twitter followers.
Lord.
That all,
no.
that all look like Justin Bieber. You everyone knows the account. No. You go to that account, it's like Justin Bieber.
Yeah. That's yeah. the worst.
Don't pay anything for I think, followers.
I mean, I think consistently just being in communication with people who you want to be a part of your circle. So with Hive, whenever we really started getting serious, we started having conversations with people who were doing good in the city of Atlanta. If you're yeah. successful, we were going to be tweeting at you, yeah. and we were going to be talking about connecting or talking about your content, retweeting and thanking you and just being really involved in what other people are talking about yeah. and you know, listening to what our audience was listening to and just
being a spotlight on them.
Exactly. And. Exactly. That's what really worked for us.
Well, it's hard though, right? When you get started, you just want your name out there.
Right.
And so, you know, how do you balance that between God, please retweet me, please follow me, please versus bringing value and letting people see that you're going to be helping them just as much as you need help. How do you do that?
I think, too, it's a lot about a collaboration. You know, everybody wants more retweets, wants their name out there. So, you know, finding people that are like-minded that you want to support and collaborate with them and say, hey, you know, like, what do you have coming up? Like, I'll talk about this for you. And, you know, this is what we have in, you know, what we have in the hopper. Like, if you could push this out, you know, so it's kind of like a trade.
Give and
or
take.
Yeah, you know, but it works really well in the social space.
Yeah, I think overall you just need to be a human. You know,
it's good.
And finger snaps. Finger yes. snaps.
Yeah. And really just be genuine. And when you're reaching out to people, you know, enjoying the conversation with people. It's almost as simple as that, but being present, you know, being there consistently and keeping up those conversations.
Well, speaking of help, so from an account, here's a perfect example. A friend of mine, Amanda Coker, who is a photographer, just tweeted out, so I thought this was timely as we're on the air. Can anyone help with restoring a WordPress.com blog from backup? Mr. CEO, or SEO, sorry. while we're
he
on the air.
He likes that name, though. He
I know, was like, CEO.
Oh, okay.
Any resources we can give Amanda?
Yeah, Global Media Group. You can go to globalmedia.com. They are experts at WordPress.
Okay.
They offer us so much support, and we wouldn't be anywhere without them. I actually had my first internship with them, and so I wouldn't be anywhere without them. Yeah, so definitely hit them up.
Well, there you go. So we're just tweeting right back at her.
We're just saving people's lives one tweet at a time.
That's all we're about, right, helping one another. So I just thought that was timely with you sitting here. So, but getting the word out, having people respond, remembering it's a conversation. So what are some companies that are in Atlanta that do that well that, you know, granted we're all playing in a different space, but let's just talk about some of the good that's going on in Atlanta, some startups, kind of like a Monday Night Brewing, because, I mean, they were just some dudes doing a Bible study, I think.
Yeah.
And it just grew up from there, and their venue is amazing to host, you know, events at, but they definitely get social. But like, what are some other companies that you guys love to interact with because they get it?
Arby's.
Oh, that was so cool. The Arby's.
Seriously,
tweet, that was such a cool.
Josh wow. Martin. He lives here in Atlanta.
He's local.
He is a local boy.
We actually had on the air the guy that knows Josh, and Josh is just an intern right now. But he was talking so much about the one guy that was so paying attention and saw Pharrell's hat and did the tweet.
Yeah,
it's so
great.
Cool.
Yeah, Josh is the one that actually sent the tweet out.
Yeah. Yeah,
from his he was trying to put his kids to bed. I heard the story.
Yeah,
and he had to just send that out real quick. So that blew up. Who else? in and around Atlanta. Everybody's looking at their phones.
Yeah.
So, obviously you wouldn't be in this room if y'all didn't connect. I mean, everybody that we're associated with here, Britton Clark at Atlanta Mission, who is the social media mayor of Atlanta, as far as I'm concerned. he just connects so many people. And he's definitely a friend of Business Radio X. He's been on here a couple of times.
Yeah, definitely. We love having him on.
Yeah, and Atlanta Mission is such a vital organization to Atlanta, for the homeless population, for getting guys off the street, getting them educated enough to do a job, things like that. Anybody else coming to?
I can think of are breweries.
Go.
That's just
my
thing.
Why is that?
We're fine with that.
I'm kidding with you.
Anybody else brewery-wise?
Oh, man. Well, I live up in North Atlanta now.
Okay.
So, you know, Red Hair Brewing Company is one of my favorites. They're
I love their root beer. If you don't like root beer, their root beer is amazing. Awesome.
And it's true.
I love root beer.
They always do like a cask, like a special cask, or at least every time I go.
Yeah.
And they did one with their brown ale and like peanut butter and peppers. And it was just mind-blowing.
Love that. Add some bacon and it'll be perfect.
Oh.
One, and I think I actually mentioned them last week when we were talking about stuff, but they do a really great job at social. They've built their whole company. It's so worth loving.
Yeah.
They're a lifestyle brand. They do fashion, but that's a really great local brand that is very much about positive self-image, and they do a really great job at social media.
Definitely. Not just in Atlanta, but literally around the world. I mean,
yeah, that's true.
With the way, mostly women, but I mean, you can definitely, there's clothes for men as well, but they really resonate with, you know, connecting with folks that feel lonely, that feel like, you know, they're carrying burdens, and do a great job of opening up a dialogue with folks that are in the dark, literally, and kind of bringing them to the light. And I'm excited for their tour that's coming up. I mean,
yeah,
they're heading out to a lot of cities.
It's big.
Yeah, for sure. You got some people, Ashley?
I'm trying to think. Atlanta area B Remedy.
Yeah. Yep. Gave them
they're
some love
awesome.
Last week.
Yep. They got lots of love.
Yeah, for sure. So, but let's go back to the resources then, because this was birthed. This whole show really came out of Britton, Ashley, and Jake and me sitting around one day just talking about stuff like, what are you working on? What do you need help with? And what are some resources to go to? So, you know, to try and capture that hour that we had together and bring it on the air is kind of difficult. But I do remember walking away going, man, there needs to be more conversation like this. Like, what are we doing? What are we working on? So from a resource standpoint, Kevin, what's coming up for you guys on the trot line or anything in this area that you guys need help on?
Man, well, we always just need more information. You know, I love it when...
You want to know where things are happening, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it's really just feet on the ground, you know? And we listen as much as possible and try to figure out what's happening. But there are some really cool small things that are happening that, you know, occasionally, like the small startup businesses will reach out to us and just say, hey, you know, we've got this event coming up. We'd really like you to come. So that's what I love, you know, just connecting and meeting the people who are just starting out.
Yeah. So, and that's for any events, like Swanee Beer Fest is coming up.
Yeah.
But you just want to know what any kind of festivals are going on.
Anything. I mean, if festivals or if you're just about to launch something for the first time, you know, Frozen Pints is another cool company out of Atlanta.
Oh, I love them.
And oh yeah, and
sounds cool.
Yeah, it's frozen. Oh, it's ice cream beer.
Yeah,
or beer ice cream.
And you can actually get drunk off of it.
Ice cream beer.
It has
or
alcohol
beer ice cream.
In it.
Off of it.
Yeah.
It takes a lot, but it actually has alcohol content. You have to be 21 to eat the ice cream.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It's awesome.
So it's like ice cream for kids. I mean, for adults.
Yep.
not for kids.
It came from a college party. They were just sitting there. They had a ice cream maker. They were all drinking beer, and they're like, let's try to make beer ice cream. And now it's come. It's grassroots, and it's bootstraps. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, and they've been really cool about connecting and just saying, you know, hey, this is coming up. People like that, you know.
Are y'all familiar with Creative Mornings Atlanta?
Yes.
Yeah. I've been before.
Yeah, I think, you know, getting a bunch of people in a room that are all trying to make it and do well and do better. They have an event once a month. It's at different locations. But Creative Mornings Atlanta, I'll try and get the Twitter handle, or Aaron can find it and get that out. But you kind of have to be in the know about it because...
Yeah. Tickets go really fast.
Really quick. They go on sale on a Monday before the Friday morning event. And there's only so many. When they're gone, they're gone. They're free.
Yep.
But the value
claim it.
You do, and the value of the speakers is always off the charts. I mean, there's so
like, they're so good, my man. I mean, they're so good. But to get plugged in at places like that, any meetups that you guys know about? Because there's a ton of like social media, especially at Atlanta Tech Village.
Yeah.
Things like
there's
that.
There's this thing called Hive Atlanta that does these gatherings.
Stop it. That's exactly what I was thinking of.
Stop it.
Dan was like, stop.
So, well, let's go back to the resources. You've got, obviously, we talked about how to do Twitter, but there's other platforms that are out there, and Atlanta's so creative. Do you guys use Vine at all in any of your businesses or no?
No, I keep track of it, but I don't use it.
Yeah. You follow a lot of people, right?
Some people do some really interesting stuff. I do, yeah. I mean, people do some nasty stuff with it, but a lot of people do really interesting things with Vine, where it's, I mean, they have such a limited amount of time, but they tell a story.
Right.
And that amount of time, it's crazy. It's
6 seconds. You got to be pretty creative.
Yeah.
That's true. Hey, I mean, Van, you do a great job with Vine.
It was not a self-serving question.
I think it
was.
No, seriously, Van, you do a great job with Vine.
Well, thank you, but that's really, I promise, not why I was asking. I just think it's, and there's so many creatives in Atlanta. Aaron Tuning, who is a funny, funny guy.
Local comedian,
musician, talented guy.
Yeah, super talented.
You know, he's kind of famous for his affiliation with the Braves. Did some really cool viral videos.
Beast from the East.
Basslines.
Yep.
Wasn't that what it was? Basslines?
Yeah, Basslines.
Play on the Robin Thicke song. And I think he's got a new thing coming up soon for the start of the season.
He also did one, El Oso Blanco, too.
Yep.
The Legend of El Oso Blanco.
But his vines in 6 seconds, he's crazy good.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, just to know somebody in Atlanta that's doing well in that space. But creatively, I think that's a way of branding and getting the message out to, I mean, with that many people that are using it and companies are.
How many users are on Vine now?
It's the world's fastest growing app.
It's a bunch.
I mean, I don't have the number in front of me right now.
Like designing a marketing around Vine is genius. People are trying to do it right now. But if they come up with something, they're really going to be able to attract people in 6 seconds to a lot of different things.
Well, I think, you know, if anybody listens to this show later and can point us into some companies that are doing well, because I remember reading an article back in October about companies that were doing well using Vine, and you go to their site and there's like nothing since October. Yeah. So I don't know if that like they couldn't.
I think the Instagram video really, I don't know, made companies question their need to be on Vine. But I mean, I think if it fits your business plan.
But it's so different.
It really is such a different tool. I agree. And I think that some companies don't know the difference.
Right.
So they
agree.
Oh, Instagram video is what I need to do. So.
Well, it looks different. It feels different. There's just a different tone between the two apps. Yeah.
Well,
I think
6 seconds and 15 seconds are a lot. That's a lot of time difference.
Yeah.
And
I think a lot of companies think they can't get their messaging out in 6 seconds. Like, could we do?
Right.
They need to hire younger people, and then they'll be able to do it.
It's a good start.
Not going to hurt anything, right?
I mean, Van's not young, and he does a great job.
Wow.
He looks young.
He's 27? Van's like 27.
Right, I know. He's getting, you know, over the hill.
Van, when I met you, I thought you were a whole lot younger.
I get that.
If that makes you feel better.
On the radio, I'm 19. Let's just go with that. Well, no, I'm not. I'm drinking a beer. Bad. So I'm at least 21.
Wow.
I'm at least 21.
Just to clarify.
We would love for the Monday Night folks to know, look, nobody's paying us to talk about Monday Night Brew. We just love them. And if it ever got to the point where we had a beer fridge with their moniker all over it, we would not hate that.
Or micro keg or something.
It would not suck.
Anything. Kegerator. Kegerator.
Whatever, you know, whatever they can do.
Then we send over a keg of Fu Man Brew, we will not turn it down.
No. So. And apparently we're not above begging either.
No, seriously.
Not at all.
Van is on his knees now begging Monday Night Brewing.
Actually, what we could do is we could set up a live remote outside of Monday Night Brewing and just broadcast from there.
Yes.
Now we're talking.
That would be best.
Yeah, let's work on that. Hey, some people are paying attention. Sprout Social.
Oh, nice.
Miss Williams. They just happy to have Ashley Williams with us. Social Good Pod, and retweeted it. So
wow, and Arby's awesome. Favorited my the relational equity tweet about me quoting that I liked Arby's. So
love it.
They're listening.
Look at that.
I love it when people
so
are listening.
Big.
I actually do know of an event on March 14th, Friday, March 14th. Is that today? That is today.
That is today.
Yeah,
today.
Today.
Oh, wow.
Today.
Never mind. It's over.
Never mind.
Never mind.
It's over.
Never mind. It's over.
How did it go, Ashley?
I didn't go.
I'm joking.
But the guy who did the tweet with Arby's had an event today about
oh
real-time social marketing strategy.
Oh, very cool.
Very cool. I think we talked about them last week too, but I felt bad. There was just a scheduling conflict, but the Land of a Thousand Hills Coffee.
Awesome. They're down the road for me.
Seriously.
Yeah? I love them.
Yeah. And those guys are crazy nice, good coffee. And I missed their coffee cupping event last Friday. By the way, don't do the hashtag cupping on Instagram.
Oh, my God. Don't. Stop.
Don't wow. do it.
You just started something.
No, yeah. Man.
People do it because you say not to do it, man.
I'm telling people, yeah. do not search that hashtag. Search coffee cupping, and it's a lot different.
Wow. For the most part.
For the So I think they're going to try and do that a little more consistently on Friday. So yeah, definitely check out Land of a Thousand Hills. Follow them, and they'll talk about the next event for that. But it was free.
They do a great job at social, too.
Absolutely, they do. And they're so involved, and their cause and what they help, you know, folks back in Africa and the way they give back is to be admired. I mean, I know a lot of portion of, I don't know the exact number, but a portion of their sales go back to help some great causes. So, we got Vine, we got Instagram, and I know they're connected. Like, Twitter owns Vine, Facebook owns Instagram. Can we just talk about... a little bit of a pet peeve. What do you guys think? Yay or nay on connecting your accounts? Facebook to Twitter, Twitter to Facebook, Vine. I mean, do they go? Everybody's shaking their heads. Yeah. So they can't hear you shaking their heads.
It's a nay. I wouldn't do it.
Except Instagram, I think makes the most sense. Instagram to Twitter. But I think connecting anything to Facebook is a bad idea. Because first of all, Facebook hates that and they're not going to make your post priority for everybody to see, which is pointless. Like, there's no reason to connect it if no one is going to see it.
Well, just go to Facebook. Because Instagram, Facebook owns Instagram.
Right. But if any outside parties that are posted to Facebook, Facebook doesn't make it a priority.
But on the flip side, it's so much easier when I download an app to say just sign in with Facebook than have to go through that whole process.
I never do that.
Well, you can sign in with it, but I don't think you necessarily have to have your post go there.
No, you don't have to have your post go
there. And if you manage more than one Instagram account, it gets a little wonky on which feed it will actually go to.
You don't want to post the wrong picture to the wrong page.
No. Yes.
Which I've done.
And the, you know,
everyone's done it.
Guilty. Yeah.
And from that sense,
which
you know,
frustrating.
If because I'm sure Instagram's listening right now.
they are.
I'm sure.
They care.
And the NSA.
To just change the sign-in ability. Like, to go Vine, it's so easy to sign in and out of Vine. And that technology has to exist. I'm not aware of
it. You mean Twitter or Vine?
Instagram, the way you have to sign in and sign out,
mm-hmm.
unless
that's
I'm
terrible.
Missing something.
They need to let you have multiple logger.
There's no easy way to manage multiple accounts for Instagram, right?
No, you have to log in, log out. So,
right?
Yeah, I just don't. I don't think there's any reason to connect, especially Twitter to Facebook. Seriously, please, everyone, stop.
Yeah.
It's different audiences. It's different conversations happening.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense to see a tweet on Facebook.
Yeah.
No, I agree. So we've settled that. Henceforth, right, don't do that. But let's talk about some best practices on those different platforms. Twitter, do's and don'ts. I mean, what are some of the things you make sure you always do, or what are some things that you see other people doing you wish they would stop?
From a business perspective?
Yeah.
Talking about themselves and saying, I'm so awesome, buy my product.
People do that?
People do that.
Or at least just don't do it. At least don't let that be all that you do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's okay to sell your product.
The 80-20 rule kind of works. I still I think it's a 90-10, you know, for Twitter.
Yep.
Just because it's such a immediate social platform. Like, you have to be connected and engaging. And it's talking about yourself is not engaging. Unless you're answering a question about your product.
Yeah. Sure.
True.
Well, and I think responding to everyone. If you ignore someone's tweet, it's the same as them walking up to you at a party, sticking out their hand to shake your hand, and you walk away. That is the equivalent of not answering someone's tweet.
Okay, let me play devil's advocate on that. I mean, there's some accounts that get really, really big.
Yes. And I was thinking the same thing.
How do you respond to everyone in his...
You can't.
It's tough.
Yeah, right. I'm saying, but if you have less than 10,000 followers... It's likely that you can at least respond to most, I believe.
Yeah, that sounds about
okay.
Right.
I think any more than that, and it would be pushing it.
But okay. I really think in the future, though, you're going to have these big companies with huge Twitter accounts, and you know how in different companies you have people that deal with accounts. They're like, well, I have the Nike account. We're dealing with that in the marketing aspect. You're going to have just thousands of people on one Twitter account. They're going to have, these are your 5, 10 companies that you're in charge of. making sure you stay connected to them. And I think that's really the future. And that's my opinion.
Well, that's a good point.
Yeah. I think also to have like a line of communication to answer questions, whether it's a separate hashtag or like Delta has Delta and Delta assist, you know, you're not going to get an answer from the Delta account. Like if you have an issue, you at the Delta assist account. I mean, so just looking for different ways to interact with people where you can easily pull that content.
And I think if you give people multiple avenues in order to ask for help too, like she's saying, but like on your website too, because if someone can't get a hold of you on your Twitter account, give them an option somewhere else to get a hold of you.
Yeah, and then respond.
And respond, yeah.
I got a story about that, but Taylor, what was...
Yeah, I was going to play devil's advocate as well. What about, we're talking about small businesses here. What about a company that doesn't get many responses? You know, they're trying, they're getting their stuff out there, but it's not really getting that traction. Do you guys have any advice for companies like that? Because I think that would be more relatable than how do I manage all these responses that are coming my way? You know, so
that's true.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of goes back to knowing your audience. You know, not every platform is going to be the most popular for you. So you kind of need to figure it out and you reach out to someone to set those expectations. But, you know, Facebook might not be the best platform for you, but LinkedIn might be.
Right.
You know, so invest time in LinkedIn.
Figure out where your audience is.
And I would say only do like, once you know that, do that one thing and do it well before you try to add like, you know, and be on every platform and have 10 accounts and you're doing all of them horribly.
Like if most of your business is coming from LinkedIn, it like Vine's probably not going to help you very much. Let's just be realistic.
Yeah.
Good point. But just echoing that thought, I think there is there's a tension as a new business. You want to get everywhere. You know that there's so many people on Twitter. It's hard to ignore. Facebook demographics seem to change. The rules seem to change. It's hard to keep up. But to stay on that one platform until you get good at it. And, you know, to Taylor's question, though, it's hard. I'm going to talk out of both sides of my mouth. Don't be in a hurry to, like, blow through the one platform and get to another one. But find other people that are doing it well and talk about them. You know, there's a big value rule. Give value, you know, 5, 6, 7 posts, and then maybe post about yourself.
Right.
Because you're still trying to grow your business. Everybody will appreciate that. It's just the spamminess that can come from some. And, you know, but going back and circling around to when somebody talks about you, like I just bought a new pair of shoes from a company that most men would be embarrassed to say they bought shoes from. But it was because of Facebook advertising. This company called Rue La La. I'd never heard of them before.
It's cute.
Probably for a reason. La La.
Yeah. Well, I've heard of them.
Ashley's heard of them.
I have an account.
Okay. So a female friend of mine likes that page. It showed up on my Facebook page. They had Cole Haan's starting at $25.
What?
That's really cheap.
That's cheap.
I mean,
that is awesome.
I may or may not be a shoe snob.
There's no shame in that.
Yeah. So I may or may not be a shoe snob, but that got my attention because of a Facebook ad. And so as a new business, can we talk about, and I know you play in that world a lot more as far as algorithms on Facebook, and I'm talking to Kevin, and, you know, just the SEO side of the business, Kevin Eckmark. But tell me a little bit about, you know, should companies be paying for Facebook ads, especially if you're new and trying to grow an audience?
There's no shame in paying for Facebook ads. If you're relevant and you're targeting correctly and you're actually adding value, I mean, it's the same as not paying. You know, always add value. You can really connect with people that might be missing you but really, really want to connect with you. So I think paying for Facebook ads, it's cheap if you do it well. And it's something you shouldn't ignore, especially with the new algorithm updates.
Yeah, I was about to say that.
You know, it's one of those things where, yeah, Facebook's free, but...
But they're a business.
Yeah, they're a
business.
You're
more likely to get heard if you pay for an ad.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's true.
Yeah.
I think it's important for people to know, like, if you have a page, even the people that like your page might not see your post.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I talk to so many people who don't know that.
Because of the new algorithm.
Yeah. I mean, it's somewhere between 1% and 3%, 5%.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That's correct.
And so if you want to reach more people than that, then you need to pay.
Which, and you can check. I mean, if you're posting on Facebook and then you see at the bottom on your page where, like, if you have 100 likes and only 5 people are seeing your post, you're not like You need to change something.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You need to figure out something that's working for you.
Well, likes have lost value, if I'm correct. Right?
They have.
It used to be huge. If you had a bunch of likes, that was awesome. But now it's not so much.
Yeah. Well, I think
you really want to make it shareable.
There's a premium on good content now. And the whole Facebook story pages app, paper app is moving toward that story look. They're changing. They just, not everybody's seen the update yet, but Facebook just changed their look again, and it's meant to tell stories, which is so critical in the online world. As a new company, don't just sell product, have a story to tell.
Mm.
Stories always resonate with people. And so Facebook is saying, hey, you got good content, we will reward that, but you've got to earn that, is what they're saying. And hey, we're a stock company, and we want to make money, and advertising's where it's at. When you see how many people are available, whether you think Facebook is dying or not, the numbers can't be ignored. And so to have good quality content, but pay $5. And Facebook's not telling you to do it every time either, but you're going to get suggestions. If this certain post is responding, what other people it's going to resonate with as well. And from my understanding, and y'all can correct me if I'm wrong, if you pay for the one ad, the next ad, or your next post gets rewarded as well, whether you paid for it or not. It just seems to get a little bit more momentum because so many people like the first post that you, even though you promoted it, the next post gets a little more legs, whether you paid for it or not.
Yeah, and personally, I have had clients come to us just because of the paid ad. You can track the conversions. It's great. And it's dirt cheap. It is so cheap.
They've made
for
it affordable, which is appreciated.
For a commercial to reach millions of people, right? You wait for the Super Bowl and you play millions of dollars. Well, you can get that same. You could. I don't know why you want to advertise a local brewery in Malaysia. But you can drill down based on their demographics and reach exactly who you want. Mm-hmm. I found a niche in my insurance business with North Point people. So I will directly target folks that are associated with North Point, Andy Stanley, Passion City, Louis Giglio.
Exactly.
Yep. And that's who sees it. And so I don't get a bunch of spam. I don't get people that aren't going to really care about what I'm posting. They're people who are, already friends of our clients. And that's who we target. So what are some other Facebook good starts, good things to do from your page perspective? How often do you post? Where are you going to get the good pictures anymore? Are you paying for a photographer? Are you paying for stock photos? What are we doing?
I mean, those are all yes. Don't just post a link on your Facebook. Add a photo. So it's where it's actually a photo, and then you have the link within the description of the photo. That's something that is really effective.
Yeah. I would say don't just steal photos off the internet, because you can get in big trouble for that nowadays.
True. That's
big time.
Yeah.
So either use your own photography or buy stock photography. Yeah.
Which is a lot cheaper now.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. Getty Images actually just made a huge update to where you can embed a lot of their images. And
for free.
Yeah, for free.
It's amazing.
And it's millions and millions of images.
That's like the largest stock photo site in the world, right?
Yeah.
That's huge.
And if you don't give them credit, they will find you.
Yeah. They will find you.
That seemed a little personal.
Yeah.
Comment there, Kevin. Kevin.
That's a great business switch, though. They're really good. They're changing. I love that.
Yeah. They're adapting. It's awesome.
And I think this goes unsaid. Never use papyrus font ever.
Just a little personal dig.
I just think it's funny. People still. I'm just really joking. I mean, don't use it. But
I just, he's not actually joking.
but it's a funny thing to talk about.
Yeah. All right. Sticking with Facebook, we've got some traction there. Let's just roundtable this. Tagging photos on Facebook now. I won't give my opinion on it yet, but with the new algorithms, what we have seen on the pages that we manage, appropriate tagging gets you some eyeballs.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I don't know why you wouldn't tag.
Right.
Do people understand what that means, though? The people that you're tagging.
I don't know. Tell me. I'm a layman. I'm the dumb guy in the room, so.
No, there are no dumb people in this room.
Just ignorant.
My
granddaddy used to say that. There's a difference between ignorance and stupidity.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So it makes me a good host.
There you go.
The best. So give me more on that.
So if you have a picture that you post and has like four or five people in it that you know who they are, if you tag them in that photo, it's going to show up on their page and also to their friends, whether those people like your page or not.
Okay. What if somebody's not in the photo?
And you tag them anyways?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, like say it's a product
right.
or an event logo or
Van, you do this a lot.
Van does this.
I'm dancing all around this for a reason.
Van, let me just tell you guys. Van will, he'll know of his friend of a friend of a friend who's putting on a car wash for a fundraiser, and then next thing you know, you're tagged in this photo, and you're like, well, now I got to go to this dang car wash because Van's tagged me in it.
I think if you're tagging people that you legitimately think would be supportive of this product or service, then that's okay. But if you're just doing it to get more views, then I'm a little annoyed.
Keep it relevant.
That's where I was going.
But you and Van, you do a good job of that.
And that was a question to validate the way I operate. But
yes, I like
that. It's okay. We all do that.
I like that.
But when you if they're going to change the rules and they're going to make you pay, and there's just some people out there like, the heck, I'm not paying anything. Yeah. Facebook. It should be free, and you know, that's a whole other argument because Facebook's a company trying to make money.
And insider information, it will be 90% paid marketing.
Yeah.
By the end of 2014.
So how do you get around that? That is, for now, a good way because if I tag you in that photo, all of your friends are going to see I just tagged you in that photo.
True.
And it's eyeballs, and that's really what you want, and you never know when that one picture, that one post is going to resonate with somebody else, but I do think
and then get shared and then it continues.
Are you strategic with who you tag in the photos? Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. It's not random. Yeah. I've been in those photos. Those random, like, why am I in this photo? And I can't untag myself fast enough.
Well, right. I think if you tag someone who's going to be genuinely interested, then it's
good. But if you tag someone that's not and you're a spammer, I'm just going to, when I see Van Baird things pop up, I'm just going to queue out and say, I'm not going to even look at that.
So. Well, we could take a picture of this office today. How many companies have we named?
And tag those companies.
And tag those companies.
But, and again, you had mentioned that you mentioned them.
Like, absolutely. Yes.
And that's that's what would make sense.
That'd be huge. And then who knows how they would send it out.
Exactly. You never know how it's going to resonate with folks.
Brilliant.
So Facebook, do's and don'ts. Just from getting started, getting your name out there, using the power that is the numbers of Facebook, you can't ignore that. So whether you think it's just for old people anymore, and that my daughters are constantly, grandma's tag me in something, I'm never on Facebook. Why does she want me to go on Facebook? You know, so it is trending to an older demographic. But is that why Facebook's buying Instagram? Is that why they're buying WhatApp?
Well, they just want to be a media company completely. They don't want to be seen as Facebook. They want to own all social media. I mean, I think they're pretty genius when it comes to pivoting instead of just saying, well, I'm going to keep doing the same old thing.
Would you agree?
I agree.
So, I mean, WhatApp, I had not heard of quick story. I was doing a presentation for realtors on Vine and IG, Instagram, and through that research, the third fastest growing app in the world was WhatApp, and I had never heard of it before.
Yeah. It's because you live in the United States. You don't have friends outside the country. I mean, truly.
Yeah. 12 billion, though. I mean, that's a ridiculous number.
Well, they made fun of them for buying Instagram for
$1 billion. It was $1 billion, and then, okay, I want to talk about something that grinds my gear. Let's talk about Snapchat.
Yes, I was going to go there. I'm so glad you brought this up.
Okay, the $3 billion offer. How is Snapchat ever going to make money and even hit that number?
They're crying themselves to sleep now.
True.
It was like 2 weeks later. They're like, okay, we won't buy you. All right, Instagram video. See you later. Like,
what were you on?
I think there's like a conversation that needs to be had. Should brands like go to Snapchat and start doing? I mean, I read an article recently about a lot of really large brands that are using Snapchat to reach their audience.
It's true, and the people are following them.
Oh yeah,
because they're doing like flash deals where
6 seconds
to screenshot this and.
And that's it.
You get like from the owner of the company will give you a special message or something like that.
So
it is connecting
exclusive
and
content.
Yeah,
it's really
and
cool.
And it's where the younger audience is.
Yeah,
but $3 billion.
I know.
Like, I think the percentage of high school students who are on Snapchat
it's ridiculous.
Like, it's like 90%.
Yeah,
it's literally insane. Like if they have a smartphone, they have Snapchat.
On Snap. Yeah,
like they are. Well, and Vine.
So why is business owner X caring about all the teenagers that are on Snapchat?
Depends on what your product and what your service depends on what you're selling.
That's true.
Eventually going to be adults.
They will.
That's the reason.
But everyone remembers Groupon, right? I mean, Groupon, I forgot who offered. Someone offered Groupon a ridiculous amount of money when they were really hot, and then they turned it down, and now Groupon's sort of like,
Spam Central.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
I think there's a car company using Vine or Snapchat really well. Ford or Chevrolet, I think.
I think they're on Vine.
Maybe both?
I think it's Vine. Well, I'm not sure about Snapchat, but I know they're on Vine.
Yeah, either way, there's definitely a perk if you can figure out how to target. If you're a car company, figuring out how to target your audience, a younger audience for your product, I mean,
go for it.
That's where they are.
You know, there's like a curiosity with Snapchat too. So I don't know if anyone has actually used it in this room or even listeners that we have listening right now. But if you get a Snapchat from
someone,
I know it's because he's like taking selfies all the time.
Oh, I love Snapchat.
I know.
I'm on it 24/7.
Right? I'm never on
it. Are you kidding me?
He's doing it now. Look, he's doing it now. He's doing one.
Hey,
hello.
There's a Snapchat.
So I just think that for, you know, from a brand standpoint, if you are sending things out, it's almost like I have to look at this. I can't just not look at this. You know what I mean? So it's
and it's
very
not
going to
be there. It's there for such a short amount of time. Whenever they decide, it's like that makes you want to look at it even more.
Exactly.
I don't use it.
I don't either.
Me either. So I think it's just I make fun of
myself. I had to delete it. I had to delete mine because I was like that person who was in public taking selfies, and people were like, "What are you doing?" And I'm like, "Oh my gosh, I'm doing this in public. What am I doing?"
Because you're making faces too, right?
Right. Yeah. So I'm like, I've got to stop. So I had to delete it. But like, I'll re-download it just to see if I got any new Snapchats.
That's funny.
Ashley knows what I'm talking about.
I love it. Yeah,
it's a great dating app. I know, flirting app.
Flirting app. Hey, baby.
Well, let's make a note. Relational equity. We'll make a note. I want to do some research between now and the next couple of months. I want to find companies in Atlanta that are using Snapchat well, Vine well.
Yeah, I would love to hear that.
Just that micro space.
That's good.
And how are they doing it? How they develop their strategy, right? And what was their end goal? And you know, circling back around to businesses and startups, and talking about social media, I heard in the conference I was in yesterday, the godfather of social media for Atlanta, James Andrews. Key influencer, is just preaching hard that you start with the goal.
Yeah.
What is your goal? And you work backwards from there. And so many people just want to start vomiting online. And it's, no, what's your goal? What are you trying to accomplish? Mm-hmm. And then how do you build the people to tell the story
that gets you
to your goal?
Yeah.
And
for you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got so many people that are at your fingertips, literally at your fingertips with their phones, waiting to tell your story if you tell a story worth telling.
Yeah.
Well, it's so much more important, too, because the market's so oversaturated with people just posting stuff that you really have to have a plan and execute it well for you to be noticed and for it to work.
Because it's a noisy place.
Well, and if you do hire a company to manage this for you, you really, really need to set up goals so you can say, okay, 6 months from now, where are we going to be?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And right.
Did we check these off, or are we at least working towards solving these issues?
Is that just like what goals are you setting? Is it number of likes, number of followers? What are the goals we're setting?
I think the most effective goal strategy that I've seen is you're actually wanting to measure the interaction more than just
the relationships.
Like, and Van, you said this today. It's not about the number of followers you have. Well, you're exactly right, because I can have 10,000 followers, but if my post isn't getting any interaction or any clicks, or you know, nobody's sharing it, then it's garbage.
Right. Yeah.
Well, and two, a lot of followers are, there's people out there that'll just follow you back, and you can get that number really big and not actually have anyone that's interested in what you're saying.
Exactly. Right. That's what Jake's saying.
And Twitter, you know, it shows you now how many people are retweeting or replying. If like, I think it should be a goal. Like, I want this many people to reply to a tweet this week, or this many people talking about us on Facebook. Those should be you should make your goals for those specific things.
Well, let's circle. Go ahead.
I'm going to throw another shameless plug to Sprout Social, but that's like one of my favorite things about them is the reporting. You can see how many inbound messages you have versus outbound. So you can actually, like, it's accountability for you. Like, if you're only posting out 5 messages, you know, you see. Their reporting is amazing.
Yeah, and that's we use Raven Tools, and they've just adopted a system like that I love, and it's amazing to have that information.
Raven, like the bird.
Yep.
Raven Tools.
Yep.
That was my next question: where are we going to analyze that? Because it can't be subjective. So, what are some objective tools like Sprout Social, like Raven? What else is out there for people to go, okay, yeah, this my story is getting heard. What else do we use?
I mean, there's a lot of tools where you can track like a hashtag if you're using that for a particular product or event. And kind of see all the interaction just with that specific hashtag. I can't think of any off the top of my head.
Fan, what do you guys use for, like, what did you guys use yesterday for Social Ecclesia?
Yeah, we use TweetReach.
TweetReach. That's what I was thinking of.
There's a free version. There's a pro version. It's a little expensive. Don't get me wrong. But if you really want some numbers, and like it measured for us yesterday, how many impressions, you know, we got. And so
that's huge right there.
How many
Well, it's funny you should say that, Kevin, because, you know, as we integrate social for this hour of radio, we want to be able to go back to Business Radio X and say, here's the impressions we had. Here's how many accounts actually were talking about us. Here's who was talking about us, who was retweeting us. And there's value. You know, if you're planning an event, if you're wanting sponsors, to be able to say, here's how our message and our story is being told. Here's actual hard data. Tweet reach. Reaching.
Yeah, definitely. But is there a difference between reaching certain people? Are all numbers the same? Let's say like Coca-Cola grabbed us or Monday Night grabbed us. Does that have more value than just an individual?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I would think so.
Trust factor.
Do you ever have to explain that to your clients saying, hey, yeah, you might have only reached 100 people, but look at the 100 people. These 100 people are all potential clients or this or that. Other than if you were on the radio and they said, well, 1.4 million people listen, but who are those people?
Right?
Well,
go ahead.
I think it's 100 people you weren't talking to before.
I think it's always listening before. Quality over quantity.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I think, too, a lot of times I think people are scared, like, because we're kind of talking about other, like, people promoting us and what they're saying about us. I think a lot of times people forget that it's okay if you are consistently serving well and listening to your crowd well, and you have super fans who, you know, they may just or raving fans, if they talk about you here and there, and you need them to say something for you at a specific time, if you've done a good job of communicating with them, then it's okay to say, hey, you're our fan, you like us all the time, you talk about us, thank you, can you do this one thing for us?
Yeah, now, if you've given the value, if the value
exactly if you've added value over and over and over, it's okay for every now and then. You don't want to abuse that, but for every now and then to say, hey, we've got this special thing going on. Will you share this with us for us at this specific time?
We've got a great relationship with a company called Feed Forsyth, Alan Matting. In Forsyth County, there are actually hungry, homeless individuals.
Yeah.
There are hungry people that aren't eating, and they do a great job of getting the food to the people that need it in the affluent area of Forsyth County. And so he's got a message. It's hard to get out because people don't think there's actually hungry people in Forsyth, but he is our superstar when it comes to what we put out. He retweets and we reciprocate because he gets it. I think adding the value, being able to tell a story, and connecting with other people that know how to tell stories and appreciate the power of digital is the key. It just sounds like it's easier said than done sometimes. Agreed?
Yeah,
definitely. I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, how we doing, producer Kevin?
We are doing great, guys. It's been such a great show.
This has been fun. I think you guys are great, but I do think Monday Night Brewing being in the studio helped a little bit.
Yeah, I think so.
At least it helps our impression of the show.
Somewhere.
We'll have to listen back and see if we actually did a good job now, though. So
Yeah. Are we slurring? We'll are we?
Well, yeah, thank you guys so much for coming on.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah,
thank you.
And we'll see if Jake set a precedent and see if he'll be back next week.
Hey.
Or not.
You can be the mascot, Jake. You can be our mascot.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can I get a costume?
Jake is trending
in the
studio.
No, but you have a cot already outside the hall. I'm just kidding.
So, and thank you guys again for coming on. We'll share as much Twitter love, Facebook love as we can after the show. And Business Radio X does a great job of sharing that as well. Anything else before we go? Anything coming up we need to know about? Any last parting words?
May 13th, Hive Gathering.
There you go.
Be there.
There we go.
I love it.
Day after my birthday.
LeaderCast is when?
May 9th.
May 9th.
Look at that. You can just have a busy week of
seriously
goodness.
One right after the other.
LeaderCast.com.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hey, go to that event, everyone. Seriously, so good.
It is good.
Or live stream it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can still buy that.
Yeah. You know, I don't really have any events, but I will be at events.
Yes.
The trotline.com, right?
Yeah, exactly. So look for the 6'4 redhead with a beard. And
seriously, I had no idea
Spencer will be there too.
I like that right there.
Yeah, and hopefully Spencer will be joining me. And he usually has some costas on around his neck and a good beer in his hand. So
there you go.
Great.
Awesome. Sounds great. All right, guys. Well, we will see you guys next week on Emerging Enterprises.